Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
White privilege is just an acknowledgement that our world is uneven. We live in a country that's unequal.
All human beings share solidarity. All of us are made in God's image equally and therefore worthy of dignity. We're all ruined and rebellious against God and therefore calls us solidarity and sin. We all need the same Savior.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
2020. Unprecedented or perfect. This is Wretched Radio. 2020 was unprecedented only in that we used the word unprecedented an unprecedented number of times. Wow, everything is unprecedented. The plague, politics, power, corruption, values, it's all unprecedented. Are we sure, and is it possible that you and I, man, we're caught in a trap and we must get out of it if we are going to be thinking like Christians and not as 21st century Americans? It is fascinating to me how easy it is for me to think that I am the center of the universe, and when I am living, where I am living, it is the culmination of human history. This is the most important era, and if anything goes kafritz, it's unprecedented. And it's not. One only needs to open up a history book to understand this ain't nothing new, y'all. And whilst I am not naive, I recognize 2020 was a different year in that we experienced things like plagues, political corruption. There's a shocker for you. It's certainly not unprecedented. Here is the test for you to determine if you have perhaps fallen into the idea that this is the most important time in human history. You will read the newspaper, you'll hear a story, and you will conclude, that's it. Jesus is coming back, because that sign is unprecedented. There's wars. There's rumors of wars. There's hatred. Look at how people are hating. Clearly, Jesus is coming back on Tuesday. Well, he might. First of all, we need to remember the signs are not indicators when Jesus is coming back, but simply reminders that he is coming back. But you and I reveal a little something about our hearts when we actually interpret the signs to go, well, it's got to be now. Do you know that every Christian generation could make those claims about the end time signs? There's always been wars. There's always been rumors of wars. There's always been coldness between people. Any single one of the signs that you read about in the Bible have happened over and over again. Why? Because they are not to tell us when he's coming back, but to remind us that he is coming back. And we make the mistake of thinking, well, this has got to be it. Why? Well, because America is the center of the universe so often in our mind, isn't it? If it's happening to America, this has got to be it. And it reveals that you and I need to remember history. What we are seeing in our country last year, what is ahead of us this year, it is not unprecedented. Have we not seen plagues before? And I'm talking about drop-dead plagues. I'm talking about bubonic. You hit the dirt. In 1655, it was 3 years after the poor dissenters were outlawed. You remember that criminal act in 1652. The Anglicans, thank you very much, they deemed that if you do not conform to preaching, to doing church the way that we have determined, you go to jail. We've got a book to commemorate that. It's called Pilgrim's Progress. John Bunyan was in jail for 12 years because he wouldn't align and conform to the way that the Anglicans wanted it done. And so he was persecuted. 3 years after that, in a little town, a fellow opened up a package that was delivered to him overseas. I think it contained, if I recall, it contained cloth for manufacturing. And it was littered with fleas. And he died, boom, hit the floor within several days. Half of the village, by the way, side note, half of the village died with him, despite the fact that they actually self-quarantined. This is a bit of an excursus I've noticed recently that people are looking back in history to comment on how we should be dealing with the coronavirus today. I saw that particular historical note noted. See, they quarantined and half of them died anyway. Therefore, it doesn't work. Okay. I read another article about Jonathan Edwards. Do you know how that great preacher died? He was sampling a vaccination for smallpox. And some people are actually taking that historical event to say two things. One, you need to be brave like Jonathan Edwards because, look, in 1980, smallpox was completely eradicated and we celebrated. Now, look how long it took. Jonathan Edwards gave his life by taking the vaccination. Therefore, Christian, don't worry about it. Take the vaccine for the COVID. On the other hand, you've got people going, learn from Jonathan Edwards. He took the vaccine and he died. Therefore, if you take the vaccination today, you're going to die. It is a reminder, we need to be a little bit careful how we use history to apply it to today. And yet, if we fail to study history at all, we are going to believe that everything is unprecedented. My friend, it is not. Go back to the first century church. When did persecution begin for believers? We did not even have the canon concluded in give or take 95 AD, and we were seeing persecution in the book of Acts. When did it start? You maybe think Stephen, he was the first martyr in Acts chapter 7. How's about Peter and John being persecuted, thrown in jail for preaching about God's predetermined plan? Thrown in jail. That's persecution. Don't we see persecution then with Stephen when Saul persecuted the church, not just Stephen, traveling around. And he was having people killed or killing them himself. We see him being put in jail then himself in Acts chapter 16, I believe 16 or 19, in the city of Philippi. He's put in jail. Persecution was happening immediately. And now we, just 20 centuries later, forgetting about our own church history as printed in our Bible, think this is it. It's unprecedented. What's happening to us Christians, it's unprecedented. Now, I get it. It's maybe unprecedented in this country, but this country is not the center of the universe. I get it. We're living in it. And we're naive and we're silly and we're imbalanced if we think, oh, good, we're getting to be just like everybody else. No, it has been a blessing and a privilege to live in a country where Christians did not have to worry about getting their feet beat, thrown in jail for dissenting or for being a criminal. It's been nice. It maybe is changing, but it is not unprecedented. Why were the Christians persecuted in the second and third centuries? It's instructive for us, don't you know? Because they were put in jail. They were fed to the lions, literally. They were scalded with hot pokers. They had their eyes gouged out. Why? One of the reasons was indeed, to a degree, political. Interestingly, because if you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord exclusively, a la Romans chapter 10, that means the emperor is not Lord. And that was a crime. And it was more than a theological crime, if you will, because emperor worship, I'm not sure anybody really took it seriously, thinking that the man was divine, but it was a statement of unity. Hey, we're all behind the emperor. And if this group of people, these upstart Christians, who were known as Christians lickety-split, how do we know that even in 63 AD they were identified as a separate and distinct group from the Jews? How's about because of the persecution of Nero? They did not persecute the Jews for supposedly starting the fire in Rome. They persecuted the Christians. We were distinct already at that time. Christianity is exploding. And they were confessing Jesus Christ as Lord. Uh-oh, that could put our nation and the unity of the empire in jeopardy. And we were persecuted for it. We were persecuted for not performing abortions. We were persecuted for not wanting our kids government taught, going to be indoctrinated by the Roman system. That was happening in the second century already. We didn't participate in the games. Why? Because they celebrated death and we worship the King of Life. And so we were persecuted. That was the second century, the third century. Bibles outlawed, property confiscated. By the way, the third century of church history, it's a bit spotty with the persecution. It was pretty consistent at the end of the first century, all through the second century, a little bit more spotty in the third century, until the fourth century when, you know, that Constantine, he determined that Christianity was going to be the religion of the empire in 313. The Edict of Milan, it stopped. Otherwise, it raged. It is not unprecedented what we are seeing. Yes, I get it. For this country, it is unprecedented. It's unprecedented in that we haven't seen it before. But history did not start in 1776. Furthermore, we are not students of human history and world history as much as we are of church history, which is the only history that really matters. Might I suggest to you, if you have concluded 2020, it was unprecedented and good riddance, I would like to suggest to you and make the case that 2020 was not only not unprecedented, 2020 was perfect. I will try to make that case in an effort to perhaps chart our course and set our path rightly for 2021. This is Wretched Radio. Yep, I get it. The thought of not having traditional health insurance, it just feels kind of scary. I would like to encourage you to discover what Mrs. Friel and I have learned about MediShare. It is affordable, biblical health sharing. 400,000 Christians strong. This is no fly-by-night organization, a ministry that has existed for 27 years, and they have covered together over $4 billion in medical expenses. Please be encouraged to at least check out MediShare.com/wretched. The average family will save approximately $500 per month, and you can sleep at night knowing that MediShare is sound, affordable, biblical health sharing. MediShare.com/wretched.
It's another day and another episode of Wretched Radio. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to tune in and listen. We are definitely appreciative of your time. We also are appreciative when you share your stories, questions, comments, conundrums, and snarks with us. There's always two easy ways to share those. The ancient way of email at idea@wretched.org or the even ancienter phone call 877-282-B. Permit me, if you will, to now share one of those stories with you. Hello, Wretched. Thank you so much for everything you and your team do as the Lord has used you to help bring me out of the NAR Messianic Movement. Yours in Christ, Grant. If you want to help make more Wretched stories just like that possible, would you prayerfully consider becoming a monthly gospel partner? You can find all of the details on becoming a monthly gospel partner at wretched.org/donate. That's wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
If only we had a clip of Dr. Steve Lawson explaining what the Masters Academy International is and perhaps encouraging you to support it. Hey, what's this button?
The goal of TMAI is to take the timeless truths and the timeless principles that are found in the Word of God and build those into men in those countries so that they in turn can preach the Word of God and be used by God to plant churches.
Talk about providence, Dr. Steve Lawson. Commending and encouraging you to support this long vision ministry, equipping pastors to rightly divide the word of truth by going to a mini seminary, we'll call it, in 17 nations around the globe, trained by a master seminary graduate. It is brilliant. Please learn more about the Masters Academy International, wretched.org/pastor.
Important dates in Christian history. 70 AD. Titus destroys Jerusalem and the temple. The separation between Christianity and Judaism deepens, and Christians spread throughout the Roman Empire, spreading the gospel as they go. God uses tragedy to forward his great commission.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
On the one hand, 2020 was unprecedented.
We ask it in the name of the monotheistic God, Brahma, and God known by many names, by many different faiths. A man and a woman.
This is Wretched Radio. That was the opening prayer for your newly installed Congress. By the way, in America. That was the prayer that happened in America. That was unprecedented for America, but not for the world, not for human history, and not for church history. Yes, the times, they have changed. And it is naive and just dopey to pretend that this is normal. It most certainly is not normal for us. But that does not mean that the things that we are seeing when we study history are unprecedented. Here's what's unprecedented: that we've had about 200 years of peace and religious freedom. That's unprecedented, because prior to that, there has been persecution. There has been a government boot on the throat of believers. There has been an attitude by culture that Christians are weird and flaky and terrible. There has been immorality. There has been perversion. There has been all forms of wickedness. Our era to date in the U.S. of A., that's been unprecedented. The stuff that we are seeing is not, and history attests to that. But there is something else that reminds us that while it was wacky in 2020, and it wasn't fun in a lot of ways, it wasn't unprecedented because history tells me so, but so does the doctrine of sovereignty. I don't want to be naive about this, but might I suggest to you that based on the doctrine of sovereignty, that there is not a rogue molecule in the universe, that 2020 was perfect according to God and according to his schedule and according to his perfect plan? Is God not the author of human history? Does he not know and determine the end from the beginning? Is he not the one who is omniscient and has prearranged everything for one purpose, to bring glory to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? He has orchestrated everything. He wrote history before history began. He delivered on his promise to send his Son at the right time to redeem sinners. But then he also tells us, I've written the rest of the script, and here it is. It culminates at the end of time, a day of his choosing. He is going to send his Son to return, this time not as a meek lamb, but as a warrior to rule with a rod of iron. He is going to arrive at the blast of a trumpet that is going to cause your fillings to rattle. And he will be on a stallion, and his thigh will be dripping with blood as a sword comes out of his mouth when he returns to reign and to rule and to set up a kingdom of righteousness and justice. He will reign forever and ever. Didn't we sing the hallelujah chorus? The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever and ever and ever. And nobody is going to thwart it. That's the plan. And now, you and I, when we live in the 21st century, when we fail to remember that plan, we think, oh, 2020 was unprecedented and it's awful. No, it was exactly how God has written it to be, for his perfect end. His kingdom is what is in view, not the earthly kingdoms, not the kingdom of this world, not political systems, not politicians, not political parties. None of it is in God's view. Instead, God is building a spiritual kingdom now for an eternal kingdom where he reigns forever and ever and ever. That's the plan. And if we remember that, and that God is controlling every single molecule as he does so, then 2020 was absolutely perfect. 2020 was exactly the way that it should be. How bad was it for you? Perhaps even worse than it was for the person next to you, down the street, in church. But when we fail to remember this is God's perfect plan for building His kingdom, we are going to think, woe is us, it's all unraveling, it is falling apart. It most certainly is not. Why? Because God is building His kingdom.
The kingdom of God, not yet in its millennial form, not yet in its eternal form, a new heaven and a new earth, is a spiritual kingdom. It's a spiritual reality separate from above and beyond all earthly power and all earthly authority. I'm saying to you, nothing any person, person's powers on earth do has any effect on His kingdom. Doesn't matter who's in Congress, who's in the Senate, who's in the presidency, it has no connection to His eternal, glorious kingdom, which He rules alone as the triune God. For now, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, is a spiritual reality separate from all other kingdoms. The realities of His kingdom cannot be propagated or protected or altered by any earthly governmental power. The realities of His kingdom cannot be harmed, they cannot be hindered, they cannot be limited by any power. No laws can be made that will make His kingdom more successful, more compulsory, more effective. Nothing any government or any ruler or any person or persons can do by their temporal forces does anything to advance His kingdom or diminish it.
And that is why 2020 was perfect. Should you stop being aware that things are changing? No. Should we stop recognizing things are not the way they used to be and they might get even worse? Of course we should be doing that. It's silly to not be aware of what's going on in the planet. But when we get so consumed with ourselves and this time period and fail to remember God is writing human history to bring glory to His Son by gathering together an elect group of people called the Bride of Christ, aka the Church, to present this gift to His Son, the Bridegroom, on the day of judgment when He gathers together the bride of every tribe, every tongue, every nation, presents it as a gift to His Son. His Son, 1 Corinthians 15, turns around, hands it back to the Father and says, no, Father, this is for you that you might be all in all. When we fail to remember that that is what He is working toward, that He is building a church and the gates of hell will not prevail over it, we're going to get discouraged. We're going to get blah. We're going to be fretting over the future, woeing the loss of what used to be a great country. Failing to remember that Jesus Christ is building a different kingdom.
And here's what He is saying. Listen very carefully. His kingdom has no connection to the kingdoms of this world. Did you get that? It has no connection. The whole world lies in the lap of the evil one. We have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Colossians 1. Let me see if I can spell it out. The kingdom that belongs to Christ transcends the world. It does not derive its power from the world. It does not derive its success from the world. It does not derive its reality, its origin, its nature, its extent, its duration from any created thing. Christ's royal title, royal authority, and sovereign power are not derived or dependent on any created person, institution, force, energy, work, effort, or right. His dominion is eternal and derived solely from His own glorious nature as the eternal Son. His rule is neither given nor taken away by anyone. His power and authority cannot, by any effort, by any assault, be diminished, limited, altered, removed, replaced. His rule is complete, comprehensive, everlasting, over time and eternity, and every soul. And none of that power comes from any created source. One day he will rule over all creation with a rod of iron in truth and righteousness, Psalm 2 and Revelation 20.
That is God's predetermined plan. And it is running on schedule. And that includes the year 2020. Which, while it was certainly different for us, perhaps in America, what we have been experiencing most certainly is not unprecedented. Instead, I would beg you to look at it through the lens of God's sovereignty to realize it was absolutely perfect. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Hicks. Pakistani Christians had to flee their homes when a local pastor in Lahore, Pakistan, made a Christian Facebook post that was considered blasphemous to local Muslims. It's unknown what the contents of the post actually were, but what is known is that it sparked national outrage and was deemed blasphemous by the Pakistani government before being censored and taken down. According to Will Sparks of International Christian Concern, quote, the post could say something as benign as Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, he's the final prophet. Even if he said something like Jesus is God, it could still be considered blasphemous. The Pakistani Christian community had to flee due to death threats over the Christmas period, but returned the next week, and the Pakistani government is currently looking into the charges. Stark says he's worried that the Pakistani government will label the Facebook post as blasphemy, which will help strengthen Islamic fringe groups and further threaten the lives of Christians in the region. But even if most Islamists do not outwardly support attacking those who break the blasphemy laws, they do support the laws in general. And that causes repression on religious expression and ensures a culture of Islam, no matter what the actual population's demographic. Christians particularly have been hurt most by blasphemy. As always, continue to pray for our Christian brothers and sisters abroad. A city in Argentina flew its flags at half-mast over the weekend to mourn for the unborn babies who will be killed under their country's new abortion laws. The mayor of Yerba Buena, Mariana Campero, declared 3 days of mourning for the babies who will not be born and ordered that city flags be flown at half-mast after the law passed late last week. The city is located in northern Argentina. The Argentine Senate voted for the first time to legalize abortions on December 31st, following a vote in the House earlier in December. The law allows unborn babies to be aborted for any reason up to 14 weeks of pregnancy and later in cases of rape and dangers to the mother's life or health. It allows girls over 13 to get secret abortions without their parents' knowledge or consent and could force medical providers to either abort unborn babies or refer women to someone else who will. The country's president, Alberto Fernandez, introduced the law in early 2020, arguing that it would end unsafe back alley abortions. Most countries in Central and South America protect unborn babies from abortion. Until now, Argentina only allowed abortions in cases of rape or threats to the mother's life. Abortion advocacy groups, backed by some of the richest men in the world, hope that the vote in Argentina will prompt neighboring countries to legalize abortions as well. Less than half of U.S. Christians expect to experience eternal salvation because of their confession of sin and profession of Christ as their Savior, while a larger number of professing Christians believe their good works will get them into heaven, according to a new survey. The survey, the American Worldview Inventory 2020, was conducted by the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University and found that a majority of people who describe themselves as Christian, 52%, accept a works-oriented means to God's acceptance. In contrast, a minority of adults, 46%, who describe themselves as Christian, expect to experience eternal salvation because of their confession of sin and their profession of Christ as their Savior. The study also found that huge proportions of people associated with churches whose official doctrine says eternal salvation comes only from embracing Christ as Savior believe that a person can qualify for heaven by being or doing good. The survey of 2,000 individuals found that 1 in 3 Americans say that they consider themselves to be a Christian and affirm the statement that when you die, you will go to heaven only because you have confessed your sin and professed Christ as Savior. Only 33% of American Christians. Lynn Munsell, president of Arizona Christian University, said that, quote, the lack of understanding of basic Christian theology is stunning, with potentially devastating consequences for individual souls and really for all aspects of American life and culture. Overall, 54% of U.S. adults believe they will get to heaven after they die, and only 2% believe they're going to hell. Additionally, 63% of adults believe having faith matters more than which faith you have. And more Wretched Radio is still to come. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible. Leviticus is the guidebook for the priests and Levites as they attend to their duties in the temple. In Leviticus, we learn that God is holy, sin is serious, and that God requires a sacrifice for atonement. Thankfully, we have complete atonement in the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Now, this is what I'm talking about. This is Wretched Radio. God is relentlessly driving toward one end, bringing himself great glory through the redemptive work of his Son. In other words, God is going to be glorified when he saves sinners. When is he going to wrap up this human parade, put an end to it, and bring it all to a close? When all those he's determined to save are saved. Isn't that what Peter tells us? Hey, an hour, a day, makes no difference to God. He desires for all men to come to repentance and a knowledge of the truth. That is his desire. He delights in saving sinners. And he is not going to wrap up this shebang despite the taunts of Bill Nye or Richard Dawkins. When's he coming back? When's that going to happen? When he determines, I've saved everybody that I'm going to save to give those people, those redeemed ones, to my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that he can be glorified and so that he can return that gift that was given to the Son, to the Father, that he might be all in all. That's the point of history. It is not Greco history, Roman history, Mesopotamian history, American history. Nations rise, nations fall, and these earthly kingdoms have nothing to do with the spiritual kingdom that God is building. Don't forget it, or you're going to get gloomy. If you aren't already, what's your Tishrei? What are you talking about at dinner? What consumes the conversations at church? I'm telling you, it is so easy to be talking about politics, to be talking about elections, to be talking about who's in, who's out, what's going on, what the Supreme Court did, are they going to pack it, what's going to happen with... We get so wrapped up, I'm not suggesting we forget about it and play naive, putting our fingers into our ears, not being aware of the world around us. That's foolishness, but we need to remember that God is writing history, and it is not about America. It is not about Great Britain. It is not about China. It is about the kingdom of his Christ. Just received a text. Can't tell you how much joy this brings me. An awful lot of people have been praying for the salvation of a man I've never met. Do you know Emil Zwain from Living Waters? He's the son-in-law of Ray Comfort. He has a pop who's alive and well, celebrating his 110th birthday the other day. I don't want to tell the Lord when my last day should be, but if I had anything to say about it, my preference wouldn't be 110. Wow! 110 years old. And guess what? He has been living with Easy, obviously a believer, one of the most winsome Christians you will ever meet. There's something special about Emil Zwain. You meet him and you can sense the love of the Lord in him. He is a light. And his dad has been living with his born-again son for years. And son has been preaching to Pop for years. I'm happy to say that my dad recently turned to Christ in repentance and faith. We are overjoyed by God's kindness. Amen. God saved a 110-year-old man. His timing, it's perfect. And those are the things that we should be looking at and we should be rejoicing over. God is building his kingdom even as this temporal kingdom is crumbling. Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. Pontius Pilate said, so you're a king, are you? And Jesus said, as you say, even though Pilate was no doubt being sarcastic, but his kingdom is not of this world. If it were, I could call down angels and crush you, Pontius Pilate. It would be nothing. Jesus could have taken his life on the spot. The Jews wanted to make him a king in John chapter 6, and he said, nope, because you're confused. And they're not the only ones. The first century Jews, what did they want? They wanted a political leader. They wanted somebody to overthrow the yoke of Rome. They were tired of being slaves, even though they would never admit it. Do you remember that discourse, John chapter 8? It's that long discourse with Jesus in the marketplace. And Jesus is, he's going after them hard, saying things like, you're of your father, the devil. You don't know me. If you did, if you knew my father, you'd know me, but you don't know my father. And he said to them, shocking, affronting things that you are slaves to. We're not slaves. We've never been in the captivity. We're the children of Abraham. Well, except for the Assyrian captivity and the Babylonian captivity, the Mesopotamian, the Medo-Persian captivity, the Greek captivity, and the present Roman captivity. Nevertheless, this pride-filled people said, we've never been slaves of anybody. And yet, what was their primary desire? Their chief desire was to get their masters off of their throats. And they wanted a royal king who was going to kick out Rome and set up an earthly kingdom. And surprise, guess where the center of that universe was supposed to be? Jerusalem. That's where the world's capital would be, being ruled by our Messiah. Wrong. And we look at that and we can tisk-tisk and go, what was the matter with those people? And we would be foolish to not ask, are we not being just like them? When we are bellyaching and carping and murmuring about the problems in our country and the political system and what's happening with the morals in our nation, I fear we are being just like the Jews that rejected Jesus, and I don't want to be like them. And I would like to challenge myself and invite you to come along and ask, do I need to adjust my thinking in 2021? Let's not make these resolutions that, well, we tend to forget, but let us commit to constantly thinking biblically. Looking at history not as a series of wars, victories, defeats, kingdoms rising and falling, political leaders, different government systems. Interesting, yeah, to a degree, but it's only used by God as a footstool. For what? The cosmic drama that he is writing about himself and the work of his son. That's the kingdom. A spiritual kingdom about Jesus Christ dying for sinners. Not making the Jews the nation of envy, in power, in control, bringing about peace and prosperity and safety and freedom of worship and religion. All very nice things. But they missed it. They missed what God is doing, offering something greater, forgiveness of sins, saving 110-year-old men. That rocks. That's a big deal. That man getting saved is a bigger deal than whoever won the presidency. That's a bigger deal. It's an eternal deal. And I don't want to suddenly become somebody who buries my head in the sand. Don't want to do that. But at the same time, I don't want to constantly be breathing the air of 21st century American civilization, consumed by what's happening and failing to miss what God is actually doing. He's doing the bigger thing. He's doing the more eternal thing, the more glorious thing, the more profound thing, saving sinners. Maybe, just maybe, you and I need to figure out a better balance in 2021. Maybe that's our challenge. That's our calling, to remember Christianity is not an app. It's an operating system. Christianity isn't something that we just plug into. Okay, wait, all right, sick child, I think I need to go look at my Bible now. Well, you most certainly do. Christianity isn't an app that we just use for spiritual things. It is an operating system. It should be consuming us. It should be informing everything about us. It should be telling us what is really going on. And it should put things into priority and perspective for us. Was 2020 a great year? Reality says, for where we live and how we are used to living, it was a stinker. But as a Christian, remembering that 2020, easy said in the text that it happened a few days ago. So maybe this was actually in 2020. So what if every crummy thing that happened in 2020 was just so that Easy's dad could get saved? Would you make that trade? God would. God does. He has no problem with it because he's just thinking on a higher plane. And perhaps you've become maybe a little glum, a little less than joyful, consumed by what's happening with what's going on in our government in Washington, D.C. You've got scoundrel politicians, morality, the sexuality issues. Don't forget what God is doing. And maybe 2020 is the year to make the change and to stop having Christianity just be an app and have it be our operating system. This is Wretched Radio. Clearly, I am not the sharpest bulb in the drawer. Nevertheless, I can figure this out. In order for a woman who is experiencing a crisis pregnancy to see an ultrasound, who 80% of the time chooses life, you've got to have an ultrasound machine. Perhaps you have the means to provide an entire ultrasound machine for a preborn center. If you do, please know the people who use these machines every day, they know their power and they are so grateful.
This is our sonogram room, but we call it the miracle room. But for many years, we didn't have much support for this miracle room. Thank you for the new machine that is on its way.
Thank you indeed. And if you could provide an ultrasound machine or an ultrasound for just $28, please consider doing so. Preborn.org/wretched.
Tired of the same old boring, wretched Bible studies? Then get yourself a Wretched Bible Study.
Hey!
They're interesting, relevant, and of course, biblical. The Bible study curriculum comes from our resources, like Drive By Marriage, where you'll find probing, profound, and soul-searching questions that will transform your mind and improve your marriage. Drive By Parenting, equipping you to parent in a way that focuses on the one thing your child needs, that's salvation. Drive-By Theology, that's a Bible study that'll take you deeper without putting you in over your head in subjects like Christology, pneumatology, ecclesiology, and more. There's also studies from our other resources like Jesus Unmasked and Stressed Out. Kick off your new year.
New year, new me.
With these awesome new curriculums, perfect for youth groups, adult Bible studies, and even your own personal study at home. Get yours today at wretched.org/study. That's wretched.org/study.
Just pretend that I'm interviewing Paul Marty, the executive director of Tomorrow Clubs, kids clubs all throughout Eastern Europe. And I've asked him about the value of the Tomorrow Club partnership with Wretched, and he responded like this.
You know, I want to be sure that your audience knows how powerfully God has used our partnership with Wretched. With your help, we've seen thousands of kids come to Christ, whole families saved, communities transformed, and churches revived all across the former Soviet nations that we serve.
Thank you, Paul. I'll talk to you later. Thank you very much. If you have been supporting Tomorrow Clubs, wow, thousands and thousands of kids getting saved, families getting saved, churches revitalized. If you are not a supporter of a Tomorrow Club, please Visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched and join in this joint effort to save souls. tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Hermeneutics. The Bible is not a manual. While it should be read literally, the books fit into a variety of genres, including narrative, poetry, prophecy, and epistle. How we understand and apply scripture begins with identifying what genre we are reading. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hold it. On second thought, maybe this guy is brilliant. This is Wretched Radio. Perhaps you heard the opening prayer for the new United States Congress. At first, you hear this prayer and you go, ay, ay, ay.
We ask it in the name of the monotheistic God, Brahma, and God known by many names, by many different faiths. Amen and a woman.
Yeah. Amen and a woman. Well, at first I was annoyed, but then I decided I think I'm going to do a little research, and I found some manuscripts that reveal I think this fellow was being more biblical than we actually realize. You know, for instance, I don't know if you knew this. This was a scribal error. Joseph's first son was actually a daughter named Womanassah. That's right. And she was womentering a lot of people in her time. In fact, I understand that she, when she was celebrating Hanukkah, oh, don't get into the details with me. When she was celebrating Hanukkah, she actually lit a womanorah to celebrate. You know, see, we Christians, on the other hand, we tend to light candles to remember that Jesus was actually born in a woman manger. So things that maybe help us to not feel that this was utterly ridiculous.
We ask it in the name of the monotheistic God, Brahma, and God known by many names, different faiths. A man and a woman.
Well, maybe he was onto something right there. Question for you. When you squeeze an orange, what comes out?
Orange juice.
That is correct, sir. Why?
Because that's what's inside the orange.
Exactly correct answer.
Thank you.
Most people say it's because you squeezed it.
Oh, well.
Which is right. That's the mechanism. But the reason that orange juice comes out is because that is what is inside of the orange. And I know what all of you who went to Texas A&M are actually being distracted with right now. You're thinking, and we won the Orange Bowl, and I was the 12th man. Please try to focus, Texas A&M graduate. I know it's hard for you when your football team ekes out a bowl game. Please focus on the analogy, which is when you squeeze an orange, what comes out of it is juice, because that is what is in it. I would like to ask you a question. 2020, even though perfect with God's sovereign plan, unprecedented only in that it's new for Americans. Historically, it is not. Nevertheless, it was an odd year. It was a bit of a squeeze. Question, what came out of you? You examine you, I'm going to examine me. What sort of juice came out of you when you felt like you were being squeezed, or your nation was being squeezed, or you were being challenged, or you were fearing the future? These are all God's vices to give you a little squeeze to see what's coming out. Now, here's where we miss it. We don't see what's coming out. We just go, the squeeze. It's unprecedented. I hate the squeeze. I want 2021 to be better. God was using 2020 to give us all a little bit of a squeeze. And believe me, it has only been a little bit of a squeeze. What we've experienced, it's not unprecedented. Governments, go to China. You don't make a move outside without it being recorded, without the government knowing what you are up to, without the government controlling everything you do, including inside of the church. You want to see a government that's oppressive? Go to China. That's today. That's 2021. I'm not going back in the church history logs. We're talking about now, Daddy-O. It is rough for our Christian brothers and sisters out there. What we are seeing, it ain't much yet. Now, it's still what it is. So let's not be ostriches Let's not pretend it doesn't exist. It does, but it was just a little squeeze so far. What was revealed in your heart? What perhaps is God doing to purify you? Now, I think it's pretty fair to say, even though I am not an internet registered prophet, but you can be for a few bucks, it looks like he is indeed purifying the church. Because if persecution gets worser and worser in this country, more people are going to go out of business, or they will just become not Christian at all. So many are just nominally Christian. They're offering life helps. They put a smile on you. I'm going to tell you a funny story. You're just going to shrivel up and go away because it's not going to be worth it. People aren't going to follow a fortune cookie teller. And it's just not worth it. And so there will be a purifying, but let's not just look at the fringy stuff, the prosperity stuff, the evangelism that exists out there. Forget that. Let's look at us just for a moment. How might God be squeezing us to reveal what is in us and in our local church? We are not being swept up in human history. Everything is being orchestrated for our good, for His glory. Everything. So what is God revealing about you? What's coming out? What are you consumed by? What are you reading the most? Where are you turning your eyes? What grabs your attention? And then how do you talk about these things? Is it biblically? Is it even with joy? Which is what we're supposed to have even in persecution. Count it all joy, my brothers, said James. Hold on, he's not the only one. Paul said it in the book of Philippians. If you recall, that was a really persecuted church. It was living in a very pagan land. And what did Paul tell the Philippians? Be joyful, Philippians chapter 2. Be joyful as you hold forth the word of life. We are to be a joyful people. Were you joyful in 2020? Were you good company in 2020? Were you pleasant in 2020? Were you feeding on things that caused you to rejoice and to praise God? Did you talk more about the election of a president or God's electing purposes through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Gotta ask. May I ask about what person you spoke about the most? Was it Trump? Was it Biden? Or was it Jesus? Is our entire existence supposed to be a perpetual babble about biblical things? No. But it's supposed to be our operating system and not merely an app that we tap into on occasion or when we go to church on Sunday or when we have Christians over. It's supposed to be permeating everything, and it's supposed to be putting the brakes on bad emotions, ill feelings, anger perhaps, discouragement, and a demonstration that we're really not believing in God the way that we should because we take a look at a crummy year and we go, this is all wrong. And God says, no, it was exactly right because I orchestrated all of it. And therefore, it's perfect. So does that mean now that you and I go, yippee-skippy, we're getting squeezed, the vice grip is on, and it's getting tightened up? No. But it does mean that even in it, we have joy. Even in it, we can have peace. Even when it is not so groovy on the outside, our insides are revealing that we are just a different people. Without making a formal sort of resolution as we're wont to do at the beginning of a new year, shouldn't we be resolving every day when we wake up to say, I'm a Christian. My worldview, my operating system is Christ and His Word, and it is going to affect everything. And I'm going to start thinking biblically, and I'm going to start clinging to His Word and releasing the world more and more. I'm going to turn my eyes upon Jesus, look long in His wonderful face so that the things of this world grow strangely dim. I'm going to stop trusting political parties. I'm going to stop trusting, brace yourself, the Constitution of the United States of America. And I'm going to start believing God's word. When Jesus promised He's building His church and the gates of hell, and that includes socialism, will not prevail over it. Isn't it fascinating? Jesus made that statement. When did he deliver on the building of his church? Immediately. Acts chapter 2. They gathered together as a church. What do we see in Acts chapter 5? Ananias and Sapphira having a very bad day. It put fear into the church. And then we see throughout the book of Acts, we see the church of the Berean church. We see the church in Ephesus, the church in Philippi, the church in Rome. Jesus began building his church immediately after the resurrection. It just did not even a heartbeat. Boom, he's delivering on his promise. That's what he's about. And maybe, just maybe, 2021 can be the year that you and I increasingly start thinking holistically in every regard. Parenting, marriage, finances, work, business, news, dinner conversations, what occupies our eyes on the internet, all of it will be consumed with the point, with the purpose of the existence of the universe, and that is to bring God great glory through the redemptive work of his Son, and that should permeate everything we do, even as we're aware that constant thought informs our mouths, our thinking, our emotions, and our joy. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.